Oh yeah, we wanted to do like our own pictures, and he had like a plan we didn't know about, but look how stinking cute we are.
Even though it's like blurry, but it's kind of blurry. It's her fourth birthday.
It was my fourth birthday party. There might be some other ones that we had, like, there's so many cute ones. There's
this one. Oh, us in fifth grade and fourth grade? Yeah, yeah, that was a good time.
I don't know.
We were playing a game.
Playing like some game, but we thought that was cute. And then there's this one.
And then this one
which
from
is
fourth
a fan
grade.
So,
yeah.
But we didn't get to pick our picture, so we just wanted to
share. Yeah, we didn't have like a walk-up song or anything, so. And we had to include that somehow, I guess.
But that's what we got.
Yeah.
So, doing this has been like really, like, it's been really good for me, but it's also been like super nerve-wracking. And I just wanted to like share like how, you know, kind of this got started. I had been doing my own study because Amanda Russell had like been doing that Bible recap, like devotional. And I was like, man, I really, really like that. I really want to do it. And I had been going through Job, and he like, I don't know, just really spoke to me because he was, you know, going through a lot of hardship and like just praising through all of these things, but still like questioning and like just having a hard time like trying to understand why he was going through these things. And so I thought today we could kind of go through Job and like kind of understand like what, how God was speaking to him. I don't know. It was speaking to me.
Yeah.
So I thought I would just start like, because I feel like a lot of people don't know a lot about Job, and so I thought I would explain like who Job was a little bit. So he lived in this land called Uz. I don't know how to pronounce it. I don't know. He was blameless. He was upright. He feared God, and he turned away from evil. And he had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he had like lots of livestock and a lot of servants. He was very blessed until like, and then something happened to him because Satan was like trying to, he was like, he was talking to God, and he was like, he was trying to say that Job only praised the Lord because he had so many, all these blessings. Like that was the only reason he was praising God, because he always gives him so much.
Yeah.
And so Satan attacked him. God allowed Satan to attack Job, not like his health, but just like take away all of his wealth. And I think it's just also amazing to note that like God had sovereignty over all of that, like all these bad things, that God still was in control of what was going on. And so Emily's gonna talk a little bit more about like his hardships.
Yeah, when my dad asked me to do the sermon, I was absolutely like, yeah, you won't get much out of me, because I felt like it was almost like hypocritical for me to do it, because I knew I wasn't so strong in my faith. I was like, why are you picking me to do a sermon when I in myself am having struggles with my faith? And so when Viv brought this up, this whole chapter or this whole book of Job has really like kind of like brought things back to me and really brought that spark back into me. And now I am here with you guys. But so what happened with Job not being like, he lost basically everything. He lost his family. He lost his house. He lost his animals. He lost everything. So when he lost all his like physical wealth and whatever. I'm not good at talking, first of all. Like, this is also why I should have not been picked for this, because I'm not good at public speaking at all. So Job ends up lamenting, and we actually have been in a study about lamenting, so we thought it was like a really cool thing about like how it all kind of brought us together, even though it's not really like with everything else we're talking about. So, and he, in, what did we say? Verse 25 and 26 of Job.
Which chapter?
One. Wait, two. Wait.
One or two? Three?
I don't
we're
know.
So not prepared.
We did it sometime. I don't know. We're not good at this.
I don't know if this one's on the slide. That's not the right one.
That's not the one, but at some point, we'll find where it needs to be. But he laments, and he talks about his suffering, and he basically, he is, like, on rock bottom. He's like, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why you are doing this to me. He, like, literally just basically wants to die. That's where Job is at. And I have like really, if not a lot of people know this about me, but I have been through some crap in my life. And I have hit rock bottom so many times. And it's been a very hard time for me to grow in my faith when I've had so much happen to me. And I don't want to cry. But it's just been a really hard time for me in my life ever since about eighth grade. That's when I went through my dark, dark time. And that is why my dad and I got matching tattoos as a promise that we would be survivors together. And so I really relate with Job through this, because the saying of why do bad things happen to good people, that's what a lot of people say. But through this, Job kind of helped, well, his friends kind of helped bring it back a little bit.
Yeah, at the beginning. So, like, at the...
You can talk, because I'm rambling. Yeah.
So, so, like, when Job was lamenting his worth, he was... I think that's very relatable to, like, some of us, like, just feeling so absolutely hopeless and absolutely just depressed, like, not having any sort of hope and just, like, not really... not feeling like we have a purpose or that there's some, like... there's no reason why this is happening to me, so it's just awful. But I kind of like this. It's Job 2:11 through 13.
Yep.
And it says, this is like with Job's friends because I just thought it was nice. It says, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that had come upon him, they came each from their own place. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Nahamite.
Horrible names.
I don't know how
horrible
to say that.
Horrible names.
It's really bad.
Like, we might just call them
they come
Bob,
from places.
Joe, and Fred. I don't
but
know.
They made an appointment together to come to show him sympathy and comfort him. And when they saw him from a distance, they did not recognize him. And they raised their voices and wept, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads towards heaven. And they sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great. And I think that's good because... like, I thought it was a very, like, beautiful friendship. Like, we have, like, they're just sitting in silence. They're not trying to give him their opinions. They're not trying to give advice. They're not trying to bash him for some reason why this is happening. They're not trying to tell him why all these things are happening, give him some advice. But they're just sitting there for a whole week. They just sit there and comfort their friend.
They were just there for him.
And I think that's so beautiful to just be able to, like, have that person and have that friendship where you're just there for each other. And there's no other, like... mm-hmm. You're just letting God be in that presence and be like, I know I'm not supposed to say these certain things that are going to screw up whatever plan, and I'm just going to be here for you. But later on, they actually end up being really bad friends. But this one little point, they are really good friends. And the rest of the time, they're just bashing Job and saying, well, you must have done something really, really bad for God to do this to you. And they're not really correct about that.
Yeah,
but,
so.
And that stuff is honestly really confusing for me because, like, I just finished the whole entire book. And going through, like, this back and forth conversation between Job and his friends has been so frustrating to me because it's just so difficult to understand. Because some of the stuff they're saying sounds like it might be right. It sounds like that's something you should do. But in the end, like, God tells Job, your friends were, like, really wrong and really awful. And so it was just really confusing for me. And I have been, like, going, like, when I was, like, working on the sermon or whatever, I, like, so focused on Job's story that I really had to just, like, take a step back and be like, okay, I definitely don't understand what's going on. And I'm not going to try to say that I do know what's going on because it's so confusing. But I just thought that one little section where they're being really good friends. And then they start talking and it really, it's really not good. But
so after, through all of that, with Job losing everything, he's, like, he is struggling really hard. And then basically the whole book of Job is basically just his friends talking back and forth. Very confusing. I had to do, like, a crash course on Job because when we brought this up, like, I personally, I think a lot of people relate where you don't really want to read Job because a lot of people have, like, a confusing or, like, outlook on it? I don't really know. But I've always kind of been intimidated by it, so I've never read it. But I did read the chapter, and so with all the back and forth with his friends, and then he's feeling super bad about himself. Do you want to talk to...
Yeah. So if you want to go to Job 38, I'll give you a second to get there.
Yes.
Because after all of this back and forth between Job and his friends and trying to figure out why in the world are all these bad things happening to me and what did Job do? And it's just like, why are these bad things happening to a very good person? Because at the beginning, he's like, we get told that he's blameless and upright. Mm-hmm. And so in Job 38, the Lord finally answers Job, like the one person we actually want to hear from instead of all the rest of his friends. So that's, I think it's verse 1 through 5, I think.
I think and we said so, 1 through 5.
It says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is that that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know.
We found that line so funny. We were sitting in Panera laughing about it a good 5 minutes.
Because it's like the Lord sounds so sassy because he's like, surely you know because you were obviously there. Like, it's just so funny.
It's so good.
This whole time, Job is trying to, like, lean on his own understanding and not trust in the Lord. He's not trying to, like, he's just not giving up that control that we should be giving up. And he's just trying to, like, answer questions that are going to be unanswerable because we don't have that perspective. Because we have such a narrow-minded space in the world, and so we're not gonna have any, like, all of the answers, obviously. And Job's trying to just, like, answer questions that we're not gonna be able to answer, and so the Lord's like, well, obviously you know all these things because you were here at the beginning, but obviously you don't. Like, I'm the sovereign one. I'm the one with all of the knowledge. I'm the one with the control, not you, Job.
Yeah,
that's me, but that's, like, what I got from it. I'm sorry. It's like, it's not Job who knows everything and can answer all of these questions. It's the Lord who knows all of that.
And then in Job 40, or chapter 40, verse 3 through 5, he basically says, I am so insignificant. How can I answer you? I place my hand over my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not reply twice. But now I can add nothing. And that's like... We were both talking about it. Like, that is when he humbles himself. He's like, hand over mouth. Like, I'm not going to speak anymore because obviously I've went too far. I've had too much of an ego almost that I don't know what to do. He's like just at loss. So he humbles himself and the Lord challenges Job to trust in him for sure. So, yeah.
I just think it's crazy. Like, the whole entire book is just like Job constantly talking. Then he's finally like, I'm going to shut up because
it's
I obviously don't know what I'm saying. And I'm trying to understand everything from my perspective. And it was just 40 chapters later, Job finally shuts up. Like, and then in Job 42, 1 through 6, this is where Job finally repents and he's kind of getting what he's supposed to be doing. So it says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Mm-hmm. So Job is finally he's understanding, I don't have that knowledge. I can't, all these bad things that are happening to me, I have to give up that control and know that you are Lord. And, and like, there's all these things that, even in my own life, I think I really relate with Job, just trying to have, like, that one thing that we push back, that this is my thing, I'm going to have control over this one thing. You can have the rest of this because I don't care about this that much, but there's that one thing that is just, that's mine, that's what I'm going to keep for me, and I'm going to understand why this is happening, and I'm going to have all control over this. And Job is finally learning to give up that, give up his ego, give up his righteousness that he feels because he thinks that he can figure out why these things are happening to him and why, because he's like, I'm so blameless and upright, this shouldn't be happening to me. And that's not, he just didn't have that perspective because at the beginning it wasn't because Job was doing bad things and that's why bad things happened to him. It was some other thing that was happening that wasn't in his perspective. And so it's just good to know that, like, we can put our trust because we don't have to have all the answers. I don't know. That's kind of what I got out of it.
And if you guys know me, I have one verse that has always stuck out to me for about 2 years now. And it has, every time where I, anytime I can really speak about the Bible, I somehow tie this into whatever I'm talking about. So we're going to put on the screen Matthew 6:33. And this is, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I really liked this because it's just always kind of come back to me of like, wow, like, don't worry about, like, in, where is it at? Like, in this whole Matthew 6, it talks about, like, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life and what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. All this stuff we think every single day of our life. Like, what should I wear? Like, oh, I'm going to go in my closet, destroy absolutely everything, trying to pick out one outfit, and it's still not good enough. And whatever, like, we all have those thoughts. So it's like always really just spoken to me. I really can't say like a lot about it because it's just special to me. But seek first the kingdom and all will be added to you. So if you trust in God and what he can do for you, things will be added to your life. And I think that's something I really look at in my life really hard.
Yeah.
But
and talking about, like, Matthew again, like, all these things will be added, but it doesn't mean that it's all going to be good all of the
time.
Exactly. Like, those things will be added, but it's not, like, everything that you want, because I don't know. I'm so clueless, but, like, sometimes I just feel like, you know, we think that when we see that verse, I'm going to seek God, and he's going to give me everything that I want, all of what my heart wants. Sometimes what our heart wants is not right, and so, like, I think people might, like, take that out of context and say, well, if I believe in God, I'm going to get everything I want. Everything's going to be so great all of the time. And that's not how it, that's not how it works.
Humble ourselves like Job did.
That's not how it works. And so I think that's good, because then I think that goes back to when Job is repenting. He's like, I'm going to seek you. I'm going to seek your knowledge. I'm going to seek your sovereignty over me. And then at the end, Job does, he like receives twice of what he had, like the Lord restores. And I think that can go back to us, like the Lord's going to restore our joy. At the end, we can have to trust, like, through all these bad things, it's so hard to lose sight. And I think even, like, at the beginning, even, I'm going to go back, Job at the beginning was super good about praising the Lord after something bad happened to him. As soon as, like, he lost everything, he immediately praised.
Yeah.
And then he, like, Satan, like, hurt, like, he gave him sores all over his body, and he was still praising. And, like, that's, I think that's how we are, like, immediately when something bad happens, we're like, I should be praising, that's immediately what we do. But if we become impatient and we come like, oh, this is taking too long, it's not on my timeline, then we start acting like Job and saying, well, why is this happening to me? Like, and we try to make it our own understanding. And so I think that also goes back to just, like, I don't know, just keeping ourselves ingrained and constantly trusting and giving up those things that we don't want to give up control, because they're just like that.
And also, like, we can look at Job and we can, we can empathize. Was that the right word? Well, I don't know.
You got it.
With his suffering. But we also do have to, like, remember Jesus endured worse. He went through so much worse. And he is still standing there with open arms waiting for us, with his scars on his hands, with everything. He is still there waiting for us while we're worried about a paper cut. So, like, you know what, they hurt, but Jesus endured worse. And I think that's something we always should remember. Like, we do struggle. We do go through things that are really crappy. But just know that Jesus will meet you right where you are. So, seek first the kingdom.
There was also another verse that I thought might, like, kind of go hand in hand with what we learned from Job with trusting and giving up, like, everything we have, no matter what it is. And so it's Proverbs 3:5-8.
I forget where I put that.
And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Mm-hmm. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. And I think that really goes hand in hand with, like, with Job finally at the end putting his trust in that. At the end of the day, when all of it is said and done, the Lord is going to have joy for him. It's going to be good. It's going to be everything that he couldn't even imagine. It's going to be so great. We can't even imagine how great it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and when it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, like Job, we learn that, like, in every single season, that we have to acknowledge his greatness, not even in the good, but in the bad. And it says to be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and turn away from evil, which I think is good because, like, it calls back to, like, the very first verse in Job, when they say that he feared the Lord and he turned away from evil. That's what wise, that's cool, what wisdom is. And I think that was just really cool. Mm-hmm. And then it says it will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So when you trust in the Lord and give up every single little thing that you have, it's going to be good. It's going to bring you peace that you've never felt before, like having that. Just knowing that you don't have to have control over that, because that's honestly kind of stressful for me, like feeling like I need to figure out everything. Like that's, mm-hmm. and it's a great peace to feel that I don't have to have all the answers. That's another thing for me, is like, I always feel like I need to have the answer to everything and know why things are happening. And I don't know. That's always been something for me. It's just having control has always been like a hard thing in my life to deal with.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's really beautiful that we can just give up that, and we have to trust that it's going to be good, and trust that this, like, testimony is going to bring us and help lead mm-hmm. others to Jesus. And I think that's really, really beautiful. So.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Do you
want to
go?
Yeah. So this whole entire thing, I know that we are kind of bad at, like, talking or whatever. We're kind of scatterbrained a little bit,
it's
I feel like.
It's our first
like.
Time.
And so, like, I just want to, like, this main thing that we really wanted people to know is, where are we finding our comfort? Where are we going to, is it going to be in our own understanding? Is it going to be in our perspective? Is it going to be in trying to answer questions that we can't answer? Or are we going to find comfort in God's sovereignty and God's control? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really cool that, like, during worship today, during, like, he won't fail, like, talking about, like, mm-hmm. through all of these things, he's not going to fail. He mm-hmm. has that power. He has that sovereignty. He has that control.
He has a plan for us even when things are falling apart, for sure.
And so I know it is so hard mm-hmm. to keep that in mind when things are going, like, it's such an, like, easy thing to say and not actually put into practice, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we have to, like, give up that control on all of the wrong things and not try to come up with reasons why things are happening to us. So that's kind of what, you know, we wanted for you guys is to just give up that control. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to bring up the worship team, actually.
Go ahead. And, like, with her main point of, like, finding your comfort, it's, like, not finding comfort and finding answers in really big questions, because we won't know it until we get to heaven. That's when you can just go up to him and ask the big man, why did this happen? Why is this going on? And, like, we won't really have those questions, but we can have those answers, like, how did you do this? How did you create all those stars in the sky? You can ask all those questions, but you're not going to know them now. I can't remember what I ate for dinner last night. Like, I'm not going to have all the answers for sure. So it's, like, not finding comfort in our own understanding. Like, God always has a bigger perspective for us in all of the answers. So that's what it really goes to. And, like, back to, like, 6:33, like, seek first the kingdom of God and all will be added to you. So that's our thank you.
And so
I'm gonna let her pray over the last song and everything.
And today, so I just want to encourage you all to think of that one thing that you hold back, the one thing that you hide behind your back and say, God, I don't want you to touch this. I want to figure this out for my own. And I encourage you to give that up today and to say, I'm giving you that control. I'm giving you that control over my life. I'm not going to trust on my own knowledge because I don't know what's going on. And I'm not going to try to answer all of these questions that I'm not going to be able to. And so I just encourage you today to give up that one thing or give up everything to the Lord. So I'm going to pray for us. Okay. Dear Lord, I just pray that today that everyone in this room can think of that one thing that they have control, that they want to keep control over and keep hidden in their hearts, and that they just are able to give that up to you, and that they're able to humble themselves like Job and say, I don't know everything, and I'm never going to know everything, and I'm trusting on my own understanding, and that's what I shouldn't be doing. And I pray that we can be wise and fear the Lord and turn away from evil and turn away from those things, and that we can give up that control in our lives. So I just want to give everyone a little bit of time to, you know, talk to the Lord, talk to him. He's our dad. He cares about you. He cares about those things you're going through, but he doesn't want you to have control over those. He doesn't want you to deal with that, but he wants you to give up that because he is sovereign and he is the one true God. Mm-hmm. And so I pray that you can just help us give up that thing and let go and let God. So I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.